what does God want me to do next today? What is next? What is my next step? You say, well, I know what it is. It's to you know, walk with Jesus a little bit closer. What if there was a series or a thought that you could just say, this is what I want you to do. This is the will of God for your life. I would want that today. You say, well, I'm not a new believer. I'm very mature in the things of God. Do you know that you still need to keep growing? Amen. You never arrive. Amen. And once you start saying you've arrived, you're put on a shelf really because God can't use you. And so what is the next step? The people of Israel in the Bible, they wanted to know what the next step. And so they were the slaves at one point in Egypt, and now they were these freedom fighters. And Joshua records saying, our theme scripture for the next series is this one that says, you know what? Tomorrow is your next step. This is what's going to happen tomorrow. I want you to consecrate yourself. And he told them in Joshua 3:5 on the big screen, set yourselves apart to the Lord. In other words, leave that stuff behind. I have a new journey. Don't go back to your old life. Set it apart. Tomorrow, he'll do amazing things among you, right? And so we serve an amazing God that wants to do amazing things in your life. And so how about now? How about you? If not now, when, right? Amen. And so I have decided to follow Jesus. Mark chapter 8, verse 27 on the big screen, or if you have it in your device or in your Bibles, go to Mark chapter 8, verse 27. And let's look at the Word of God here. It's on the big screen. Jesus and his disciples were on the village around Caesarea Philippi. Now, what's good about that thought right there, just some backward or some behind the scenes note, they had left the fishing part. They weren't on the boats anymore. They weren't multiplying. They weren't going into the synagogue. They had gone into the real world. They had left the four walls of the church. And Caesarea Philippi was this area that was just known for pagan worship, idol worship. It wasn't holy. It was an unholy site. And so as Jesus takes them on that journey in the context of that, he's asking them these questions. And he begins to say, on the way, he asked them, hey, who do people say that I am? And they replied, all the disciples. Some say you're John the Baptist. Maybe another guy said you're Elijah. Another one spoke up. One of the 12 said, still another says one of the prophets. And so they were saying, you know, hey, we're hearing that you're reincarnated. And they believed that they didn't come back like a dog, a cat. Aren't you glad it wasn't a cat? Jesus came. Some say you're this mighty man because of all the things. You're feeding 5,000 people, Jesus. You have to be from somebody. So maybe you're reincarnated. He said, but what about you? He turned towards the disciples. He said, no, directly, what do you guys think? You've heard the opinion. He said, who do you say that I am? And Peter was always the one that put his foot in his mouth, right? We've learned that about old Peter. And he said, you know what? I am. He said, Jesus said, you are the Christ. Peter said that. And has someone ever said something that you don't know, like, man, you don't know what you said? You've been in a crowd in the context of that, man, you don't even know what you said. Peter was saying it in the context of, man, you're the Christ, you're it, you're the next it. You're going to be the president of the United States. You're going to run off all these Romans from our land they've been occupying because we want you to come in as the next big thing. And guess what? I'm going to be your chief of staff. Peter was saying that. I want to be that your boy, man. He said, Jesus then said, you're smart, but you don't even know what you said. Jesus warned them, the Bible says, not to tell anyone about him today. It continues, and he began to teach that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and teachers of the law, that he must be killed and after 3 days must rise again. And he spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Notice he began to rebuke him. That wasn't real smart of Peter, was it? He began to rebuke him. Notice it didn't last. But then Jesus turned and looked at the disciples. Notice this word right here. Because he didn't look just directly at Peter. He looked directly at the disciples. But Peter was the ringleader. Because they were all were thinking it. And Peter, you know, got told. How many of you ever got whipped just by being with bad company when you were a kid? Everybody got spanked, right? Just because you were them. And anyway, but Jesus turned and looked at the disciples and rebuked Peter, said, get behind me, who? Yeah, the lying devil, right? Boy, that was a rebuke, wasn't it? Jesus, I've been in Bible college. Why are you talking to me that way? He says, you don't have the mind of God, but you have the things of man. You know, you're this conquering king. That's why we have this mind of man. You're going to do it better for us here and now. We want a kingdom on this earth, not a kingdom to come. And Jesus was all about the kingdom that was upside down, the kingdom that was coming, not here. I want lower taxes like anybody else. I want two chickens in every pot like everybody else, don't you? Yeah. But Jesus said, this earth isn't what it's about. And it continues. And he called the crowd. And that means everybody, I just told these guys off. Now I'm fixing to tell everybody something. Everybody's going to get in trouble now. And he called them along and he said to the disciples, if anyone would come after me, this is how it looks. Somebody says, he must deny himself. And then say this, he must take up his cross. Oh, the cross. It's so beautiful. It's going to be that jewelry around my neck. It's going to look bling. It's going to look good on me. And it wasn't that. When they were hearing it at this point in history, it was saying, no, you're going to go to death row with me. You're going to walk the line. Dead man, you're going to be right there, dead man walking, because the cross was an instrument of death. It was the execution point of the Roman people. So it would be the equivalent if you didn't wear a cross, you wore the electric chair, a gold electric chair around your neck. That would look good, right, for some of y'all in this room, right? Yeah, it's not a piece of jewelry. You're gonna die if you walk with me on this walk that I have for you. Come on, Pastor, tell me some good news. I am. Amen. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whomever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. He was just. Do you know that everybody dies? Even the people that can't pass go and collect $200, you still die. Even the people that eat tofu tacos, those people die. Nobody lives. And Jesus was saying, whomever wants to save his life, they're going to lose it. But whomever saves his life, Jesus, you're asking me too much. That's what the hearers were probably thinking. It goes on and it says this. I'm almost finished. What good is it for? Is it okay to read the Bible in church, by the way? The last time I looked, this was still the church, right? So what good is it for a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit its soul? And what good can a man give in exchange for his soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes with his Father in glory and his angels today. This is an eternal decision. You say, well, I'm going to take care of myself until I'm 120. And that's all good. But there's an eternal decision that every one of in this room has to make today about following Jesus today. This isn't really a church growth one that I'm telling some jokes. I just did that at the beginning to warm you up. But I want you to follow Jesus with me today. We're on a journey, and it doesn't look like it's a... What does it mean to follow Jesus? We have social media, and you can like things and like, and you can like this friend and friend him. I like that thing on there where you can snooze somebody for 30 days. I mean, you've seen that feature? Y'all ain't on Facebook then, huh? Y'all are acting too holy. That's just too spiritual, spiritual, Pastor. I'm a holy person. But you can snooze somebody. Man, they're just doing too much, and you just on Facebook, you snooze them for... It's a great feature if you want to put somebody to sleep for 30 days, right? On Twitter, you can follow and unfollow, but it's so convenient to follow people and like people at a mouse click. Should it be that way with our Savior and what we do with God? Should it cost us something? And it's not about social media. It's about you following Jesus and what it looks like. And well, I'm not going to unfriend you today. Hopefully you won't unfriend me after this message. Is that okay with everybody? In Luke chapter 9, Luke writes the same harmony of the gospel. But Luke adds something very interesting that I want you to realize with me today. In Luke chapter 9, you haven't had any fun all day living faith. Why don't you read it out loud, not out soft. On three, are you ready? It's in your message notes. Somebody say amen. Come on. Amen. Yeah, here we go. One, two, three, go. Then he said to them all, if any would come after me and take up his cross daily. So whenever you're on a journey with Christ, you got to take the next step, because it's not, well, I do it on Sundays. Or I did it when I got, pastor was preaching really, really good. Or I did it at summer camp as a young person, and I followed Jesus up until, September. And Jesus is saying, no, it's a daily thing that you do today. I want to guarantee you today something. If you follow Christ, you'll never lose your life. You'll gain it. Amen. The flesh will dissipate. It will go away, but your spirit will get stronger. There's an incredible pastor named Rick Warren, and he gave the following thoughts about the crowd, the congregation, the people that follow Jesus and come and see. And he outlined it on our commitment levels and where we're at on our journey with Jesus. And it talked about first is this, the crowd. These are the thoughts in your handout, I think. The crowd, that's come and see. That means every event that we have that we want you to come to, we're going to make sure that we got childcare. So you can bring your babies and you can enjoy it. We want you to bring. We come and see. Peter, Andrew was told the disciple by Jesus, come and see, Andrew, and come and bring your big brother, Peter. And Peter and Andrew went. And you know what Jesus did for them? It was a come and see miracle. He filled their boat up with a bunch of fish as fishermen. That was a good thing, right, everybody? One day we're going to give you paletas on the way out of Living Faith Church. I mean that. Amen. Why can't we do that on a hot summer day? Everybody get paletas. I like the vanilla. How about you? Amen. Maybe we get some mango ones. Amen. Oh, you're getting excited now because you're about to eat. The next level was, somebody say congregation. And that's really come and join us, the group of people. Many of us in this room, Living Faith, as a church, a local church, you've kicked the tires. Yeah, let's kick the tires. And you should take your time. Joining the church is very important. But please feel welcomed. And what that would mean to you and all of you in this room today, feel welcomed, man. I want you to feel welcomed. If you're attending this church, but you have to also know there's an invitation. And the invitation is you should belong to a local church. That you should identify, that's my church. I belong to that spiritual family, the local church on the face of the earth. And you know what the local church does? It changes the world. The Senate won't do that. The mayor house won't do that. The White House won't even do that. But the local church was established by Jesus that the gates of hell would not prevail against it because it changes the world. And when you belong to a local church, amen, things get better. Now, beyond that level is joining Jesus. And that's what I want you. Come join Jesus, amen. And then join Living Faith Church today. Right, everybody? You're going to have that opportunity on May 20th, quick commercial. You'll be able to do the Connection Luncheon Sunday after church. See Sherry or Larry Fuller. They'll tell you all about the Connection Luncheon, and you can be part of the family of God. The next level is this. Somebody say committed. Let's come and start. Come and start growing. That's the level that you go. Next level, I need to grow in God. I want to do what God wants me to do. That means you belong to a small group. Everyone in this room needs to belong. Every Christian on Facebook, you need to belong to a small group. I belong to about three of them. You know why? Because I'm a small group pig. I'm a junkie. I need them. I go to one and I go and I'm accountable there with a bunch of pastors that I've been meeting with probably like for 12 years. No, 17, I take that back. And I've been meeting with them since we kind of almost began the church. There's accountability. I tell them my horror stories about you. And you know what? They tell me their horror stories about their church. And then I can't wait to gossip. No, I'm just seeing if you're awake today. We keep a covenant in that group. I belong to another group that we do here at Living Faith called the Journal Group. And we journal during the week. And we Bible journal. And it's an awesome group. And sometimes I'm real transparent. Look, I'm having this need, and they pray for me. Wednesday night group, when we do the Wednesday night circles, that's a transparent group. I say, I need help with this. And then, you know what, I hear their stories too. And they tell me their stories, and we pray. And they're not much different than I am. We all struggle at times. We all need help. Amen. And so you got to belong to a small group if you want to get to the next level. The next one is core. Somebody shout core. Yeah, and that's the very being right here where you, that core where you get stronger, and that's where you come and serve. You find your purpose. I want everybody to do this week. Make a side note. Google spiritual gift test, and you'll find it on Google. You'll find about 20 of them. And if you have to pay for one, don't do it because they should be free, right? You take that spiritual gift this week because I want you to come back and I'm going to do a live Q&A and I'm going to ask, what's your spiritual gift test? What did you find in your spiritual gift? It grades you and it doesn't. You can do it all online and you'll send up, mine is being a pastor. And then I'm going to shoot you. No, I'm not going to shoot you. I'm going to say, come help me pastor the people of God. Mine's being a prophet, and you're going to be a prophet. Amen. Thank God for the prophets. But everybody in this room has a spiritual gift. At least one, and you'll see where you're strongest, and you'll discover right there is where God has wired me and why I do what I do. And you'll never be the same because you'll discover your purpose. You say, well, I have a computer. Next week, Sonia Virial and Laura Collier, they're putting together something that you can take home with you, and we can grade it. They'll bring it back. You can grade it and give it back to you. It doesn't need to be confidential, but it can be. And you can take your test by doing it just in pencil or pen. But everybody should know their purpose, because you worship one and you serve one at Living Faith. That's in our DNA. You know, some of our guys that serve, you know where it really happens for them? Man, Pastor hit it out of the, man, he's awesome the way he preaches. No, you know where they really get it? Where they serve. Because they do this small group during the 9 a.m., or they do their parking lot ministry, or they do their ministry on the platform, or they do their ministry in media, and they're blessed, and that's where they get their muscles. And so you should have that opportunity. You should serve. You should worship one and serve one. If we had 80% of Living Faith, I'm speaking directly to Living Faith, worshiping one and serve one, you imagine what we would do to this community? You imagine what would happen? Amen. And so I'm calling you to be, come and serve. Amen. Amen, everybody. Amen. The final one is commissioned. Commission. Yeah, and I don't like this one because it's called come and die. Yeah. Wow, Pastor, come on. Do you want me to be a priest, a nun, or what do you want me to do? No, it's just the next level. Again, I'm not going to church just on Sunday. I'm serving Jesus on Monday. When I walk out of this room today, most of us won't die for the cause of Christ like they did in the early church. And they gave their lives. But most of us in this room have a whole lifetime to live for Jesus. And I would venture to say that's just as important as dying for Christ. If you can live 70 years for Jesus, you leave a legacy for your children. You leave a legacy for your church. Amen? You can do something. Amen? For the cause of Christ, I will live for Jesus. You may not die, but you die to yourself. Amen? Amen. And you live for Christ today. Amen. Where are you at on the five that I gave you? Are on your notes right there. And so maybe you need to move from invitation, from no commitment, to a total commitment this morning to Christ. Maybe you need to move from consumer to contributor. I'm not going to just consume. I'm going to contribute now. Maybe you need to move from Savior, Jesus, save me. I have fire insurance. I'm going to heaven because I prayed the prayer. Maybe you need to move from Savior. Somebody shout to Lord. That means, Jesus, you're the boss. Because on Friday night, you're just as holy as you were in church on Sunday. On Saturday night, I'm still serving Jesus because He is just Lord of my life today. One of the greatest things that I get to do as a shepherd of the Living Faith congregation is this. I get to lead you into fields. Green fields. And I'm going to do that this morning. I'm going to lead you in a field. Don't be el burro, which means el cabezudo. I'm not going there. No, you're Betito. You're going where the sheep are going to this. We're going over here because we're going to eat green grass there. Right, everybody? Amen. And so let's go. Amen. We're moving. Right, everybody? What's the first step? You're born again. You make that decision. Acts chapter 2 on the big screen in your handout. Let's read it together. Not out soft, but out loud. Amen. 1, 2, 3, go. Those who accepted his message were baptized. About 3,000. And so they heard Peter's message the day of Pentecost came, but they were immediately, hey, find me a river or find me something that you can dunk me in because I need to be water baptized today. And so the first response was you get baptized after you get saved. Right, everybody? Amen. That was the pattern of the book of Acts. The book of action, it was spontaneous. You're saying, I got you there, preacher, because I got baptized when I was a kid. They dressed me in white. They held me up. They took a picture. I still got the black and white that my madrina and padrino, which don't get me presents anymore. Yeah, they used to always give me a Christmas gift when I was little, but man, they went away. Amen. I don't know where they're at. I got this photograph that, see, my mom and dad, they blessed me by doing that. It was, I think, a christening or something like that. And we did it. It was a wonderful ceremony. But I didn't know what I was doing because I was a baby. And everybody in the book of Acts, everybody that served as God and is an example to us, they were already adults. And there was a post-Christ decision. Now I want the world to see. Again, you have beautiful memories of that, not taking anything away from anybody because I got them, except for that thing they don't give me presents anymore. That's wrong, right? But the book of Acts and the pattern that we follow, you get saved, and the eunuch said, where's water? I need to get baptized now because the old man is dead. Amen. These are three reasons that you might say, well, I came in dry, but I need to leave wet today. And these are three reasons why you should get water baptized today. Number one is this, to follow the example set by Christ. The pattern of Jesus was this, the pattern of Jesus Christ to Christians now, as followers of Christ, is he got baptized. And it meant a whole lot to him and his heavenly Father, so much so that he opened up heaven and he says, that's my boy. And I'm real proud of him right now. Amen. Was Jesus a sinful man that he needed to be baptized? No. Somebody say, no, I'll help you with the hard ones. No, he wasn't. So I have to think he did that for us. That we would follow an example. Jesus then baptized people. The Bible says that. And then he taught his disciples, and they baptized others. And so if Jesus asked us to do it, we should be baptized, right, everybody? Amen. And so Paul got it, first century Christian, greatest Christian that ever lived. Paul got this, and he said this, 1 Corinthians 11:1, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ, right? So if Jesus did this, I act like Jesus, and I'm going to be like Jesus, I should get dunked in water. And if I come up, I should live differently, right? Amen. So living without Jesus, we're missing it today. In 1 John, it speaks of really the truth about being serious about Jesus and following him, and not just it's a Sunday thing. 1 John 2:4 on the big screen. Someone may say, I'm a Christian, and I'm on my way to heaven, and I belong to Christ. But if he doesn't do what Christ tells him to do, what is he?
He's a liar.
He's a liar. Yeah, you liar. Amen. The seriousness of it. Now, did I write that?
No.
Yeah, the Bible wrote that, right? And I think being a serious Christian would be like this. Jesus said, you know what, man, I went to the cross for you. And all I'm asking you is to get into water. Thank you, Jesus, he went to the cross for us. Amen. And if I can't obey him by being obedient in water baptism is a public declaration that I'm leaving the old behind and I'm showing the world publicly that I'm being baptized today. I'm going down, and it's not magic. The event doesn't make you saved. The thief on the cross that was next to Jesus asked Jesus, he said, today, would you remember me in paradise as he was dying? And Jesus was dying with him, another thief on the other side. He said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, today you'll be in paradise with me. Now Jesus said, hold up, get him off the cross. Let's get a baptism trough and let's get him dunked. And then we'll put him back on the cross. Did he do that?
No.
So water baptism doesn't save you, but it does say, you know what? I want to prove to the world that I love God, that I'm renouncing my old way, and I'm going to belong to Jesus now. Amen?
Amen?
The second thought is this, to demonstrate my changed life. Somebody shout changed.
Change.
Yeah, to demonstrate that. For 27 years, I'm glad she's not here. Amen. No. 27 years, I made a covenant in marriage with my wife, and I put a wedding ring on. And biblically, this isn't in the Bible to put a ring on. It's just something that we've done through the years as a tradition. It's a good tradition, right?
Amen.
Those are the, you know, and so when I put this ring on, it shows that I belong to her and she belongs to me when she wears her ring. And so I've done that. And here's my situation. What if I would take this ring off when I would maybe leave the house? I would put it in a little my garage. I would get in my car and take off. But I would just when I would come in and be with Irma, I would put the ring back on. You know what would happen in our home? There'd be eyeballs flying out of people's faces. And hey, why don't you wear your ring? You know, why don't you, you know, well, I don't want to be married when I'm not with you. And that wouldn't go over well, would it either, right? So all this shows the water baptism is a symbol of just the wedding ring, that I belong to Jesus, that I belong to Irma as I wear the wedding ring.
Amen.
And I'm making just a state, I'm belonging to Jesus by doing this today. When I take it off, does it make me divorced?
No,
not at all. That shows you're saved still because God is still in your heart today. There was an early church tradition that when they would get baptized in the early century, there was no water baptism tanks like we built behind the stage here, that they would go down to a river, and they would put old clothes on, old tattered clothes, old filthy clothes. They would put those on, but over those clothes, they would put white, spotless clothes, nice clothes that were washed and pressed. They would get into the water, and while they were going down, in the name of Jesus, I baptize you, he's baptizing them, they would take off the old clothes that were on the outside, and on the inside, there would be the new clothes. So can you imagine how quick they were taking those clothes off? Because you have to breathe underwater, right, everybody? And they would hold them down a little bit. No, they wouldn't hold them down. And they would take off those clothes, and those clothes would float up, the old clothes, and they would go down the river, and they would come up with the new clothes. Imagine if we did that in the San Antonio River, the Riverwalk. You think those cops on boats would come and find us? Just don't tell them we go to Living Faith Church, right, everybody? Make up a church that we go to. Through that symbolized that through the old way, the old man was buried, and the new man was rising. In 1977, my pastor was preaching because we didn't have a baptism tank in our church. We didn't even have somebody that owned a swimming pool. We needed some faith. He said, hey, we're going to go to Riverside. And Riverside's this park over there that they have, I think, by the Medina River. And you have to pay to get in now. But back then, I don't think you had to pay. And we went to Riverside. And for weeks, he was announcing that we were going to get baptized. And I'd never been baptized. I was like a teenager. I'd gotten born again, and I saved. And I remember the tradition that we came from as a family. My mom and dad at that moment weren't coming to church. They were very strong in their religion, even though we only went during Easter and Christmas. And I began to tell them, I knew it was going to cause drama because me going to that church already was causing drama in our home. And I told them, hey, I'm going to get baptized. What? That's loco. They told me something. You're going to get baptized. You already been baptized. You know, your madrina, madrina picture. Here we are. Why are you going to do that? No, I'm going to get water baptized. I didn't know what I was doing. That's what the pastor told me. And said, no, you're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. And I was, you know, and so I went to my pastor and said, Pastor, I'm getting persecuted in my own house. No, but man, they were still feeding me. They were still paying the rent. They were still giving me clothes. They were still doing, and here I was giving this up. And my pastor gave me the best advice. I still remember Luis Garcia telling me, General McMullen, first pastor there on Victory Chapel. He said, Mario, I want you to honor your mother and father, but I still want you to get ready to be baptized. Here's what you're going to do. You keep getting ready. You don't keep talking in their face that you're holier than thou. Don't do that. That will dishonor them. But you get ready to be baptized. And on that day, something special is going to happen. I believe you're going to be obedient to God. You're going to be okay. So that day came. You know, I took off. We had to go to the river, man. We got in the car and went. I just got my stuff and I walked out of the house. Nobody told me anything. In the name of Jesus, I walked out. Right, everybody? And I walked out and I got into the car. And when I got into the river, something special happened. There were about 10 of us of that church getting baptized. And all of a sudden, there was this 10, and I was like number 5. And so my pastor, Luis Garcia, was baptizing everybody. And he said, there was this right next to me, this like snake, water moccasin, true story, swam by me. And my pastor said, mira la vivara, meaning, look, y'all don't speak the heavenly language here. He said, look, the snake. And I think that snake came out of me, man, because I was so evil. Yeah, that snake went by, and there I was. And then when I went down, that water was cold, not like it's heated today. We got warmers on, the heat's going on, the turbo thing's going on. That water, man, when I rose up, like, but then I felt like new, something happened to me. I went to the next level in my Christian walk with Jesus, and I never looked back. I made a commitment. In 1 Peter 3:21, it says this, in baptism, we show how we've been saved from death, doom, by the resurrection of Christ. Not because our bodies are washed by clean water, but because we're being baptized by turning to God and asking Him to what? Cleanse our hearts. Isn't that a beautiful scripture? We're following Jesus, and we're doing what Jesus asked to us to do. I want you to take the next step wherever you're at today. Even if you've been water baptized, my commitment level now, I need to be part of the family of God. I need to, there's always something that God is asking us to do next level in this room today. That's that song that Chuck led and the worship team led, "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus." It's a beautiful song, isn't it? The story behind it is incredible. In the late 1800s, India was impenetrable. It couldn't get the gospel to them. And the Welsh people were having revival. And so they began to send missionaries. And they sent them to this Hindu nation called India. And they suffered much persecution as missionaries, this Welsh missionary. Hard ground to have a harvest. Finally, one family came. And his name was Ahmad. And Ahmad and his family heard the message of Jesus. And they came to Christ. The chief priest, the chieftain of that time of the Indian village, that was against the law to the point of death. And Ahmad knew that with his family. And so he told them, he said, "You know, bring that man here and his family." And he said, "You're going to need to renounce Christ now in front of the whole village, or we're going to kill you and the family." And these words came out where we have the song. And his first words were to that charge, "I have decided to follow Jesus." And at that moment, they killed these children right in front of him and in front of the whole village. And then he continued. He says, "If you don't renounce Christ, we'll kill her next," with his wife was next to him. He said, "No, none go with me, still I will follow." And at that moment, they executed his wife and killed the wife. And he says, "Now we're going to kill you if you don't renounce Christ." He said, "The cross before me, the world behind me." And they killed him at that moment. Those were his final words. Do you see how the seriousness of what we're talking about today takes us to the next level about being a follower of Christ, right? This isn't just a Sunday thing. This is a commitment level that goes up a notch because we're committed to Christ. If they did that, what is God asking you to do right now that's simple, that probably doesn't take any level of just faith, but just getting out of yourself today? The third principle is this. Finally, here we go. To declare my commitment. What? It's a big deal to God when you look at the verse that we're about to read and how going public for Christ counts to him. In Matthew 10:32, again, let's read this out loud. I believe that's our last scripture, right? We can make it the loudest right now. Let's make the roof shake, right, everybody? Let them hear you in the children's church. Is that okay in building one? Let's say this out loud. Reading the Word of God is good and declaring it out loud by faith right now. 1, 2, 3, go. If you openly and publicly acknowledge me. Yeah, you sound good. I will also deny you before my heavenly Father if you deny me publicly. Yeah, didn't that sound good? You ought to give yourself a hand. Amen, you did good. Yeah. If you're going to be ashamed of Jesus, then maybe following Jesus isn't for you. Because if all he's asking you right now is to obey him, and do this, after all that Jesus has done for you, a true follower of Christ would say, "I'm willing to do whatever you'd ask me to do because you've blessed me so much, because you've helped me so much. I'm going to follow you, Jesus, all the days of my life today." Well, my faith is private. Everybody look up here. My faith is real private. Then you're probably not a disciple, because everybody that is a disciple of Jesus, it's living out loud, not out soft. Do you understand that today? It's done to the point that Jesus said, "You know what? You're like this city on a hill that needs to be illuminated." He said, "I'll even make it more plain." He said, "You're like this light. And you know what? I'm going to take the lampshade off because you need to light up the whole room. So you got to shine, right, Mija? Mijo, you got to shine. You got to shine on the world today because you go public, right, everybody?" And so being baptized is just, water baptized is just, I'm obedient to God, and I want to do it as soon as possible today. This story, and I'll close. In the first century, just like it was in the Hindu village, Jewish Orthodox people, what we know about them in the book of Acts, it was very rigid, and they did what was told of them in that culture. And the church came along, Jesus left this radical bunch of believers, and they were born again. And they were getting water baptized to prove that they acknowledged Jesus. But what was happening in culture at that moment, history tells us, was the river was a source of economy. So everything happened at the river, clothes being washed, things that caught fish, being, you know, fishermen. But water baptism was taking place. So it wasn't much after 3,000 people that got born again needed to go to a river. How many of that would cause a stir in a town, right? 3,000 people show up at your river, there's going to be some water shortage, right? It's going to get a little bit deeper or whatever. The water's going to come out. So at that point, everyone is standing on the banks of the Jordan, and they're hanging out there, and they're saying, he's part of that movement of that rabbi that had 12 men follow him, and he died, and then he rose again. He's part of that movement. And so parents were there, and the economy was there. The businessmen were there. Ignore that blinking light. It's just me. Amen. It's going to come on. I'm going to unplug it. Amen. And so the economy, it was there. And so a businessman would be at the banks, and they would see this one that was converted to Christianity, and he was going, if he goes into that water and gets dunked in that name of Jesus, that follower, I'm never going to buy product from him again. I'm never going to do associate with him. We're going to take our business elsewhere. He knew that. But you know who else knew that? That man that was going to get baptized. And so it was a cost to him. How about the son, the daughter, the brother? The brothers and sisters, the family would be there as Jewish people. They would stand and say, look, he's being baptized. That's our son. That's my brother. If he does that, I'm never going to speak to him again. The father would say, he's written out of the will. No inheritance for him if he does that. They knew it. But also the son knew it. He knew his suitcase was in hand because he wasn't going to be welcomed again in the home. He had to pack his bags. And it cost them something. I would make it a little bit more, because you're looking at me so serious right now. Like, wow. How about this fun thing? The AT&T Center's rocking. And the Spurs are beating the Warriors. In the name of Jesus, I can believe in miracles. How about you? Help us, Jesus, right? We need a miracle in the house. And they sing that national anthem, and it's done wonderfully. But all of a sudden, I sneak by, and Irma's sitting up there, and I get the microphone because I get down below, and I take the mic, and I start saying something like this. I just want the whole world to know that I love Irma Nava. I married her 27 years ago, and I just want the whole world to know that I love her this day. Can anybody say hello? And they'd all go, hello. And I go, hey, ho. And they'd be, you know, doing my thing. And they'd be all clapping for me. That's what I imagine, right? So when I got back up to the nosebleed section of my seats, I'd go, hey, baby, what do you think? And she'd say something like this, hey, stud muffin. You didn't have to do that. I know you love me. I know you'd lay down, you know, and all that stuff and be kissing me and like that. And I'd go, you know, baby, I know that you know that I love you, but I wanted the world to know that I loved you. I wanted the whole world to know how much I loved you. And I don't care if I made a fool of myself, because I wanted the whole world to know that I loved you. You see where I'm getting today? Amen. Jesus, I don't care. Well, I'm going to get wet. I want the whole world to know that I love Jesus and that I'm following Jesus. And I don't mind doing that for Jesus, right, everybody?
Amen.
There are always excuses. The Bible pattern is this. As soon as you get saved, you get water baptized. And we've scheduled this today. But the day will come, why not Living Faith, that we're doing this immediately after service? Because so many people are coming to Living Faith Church. Amen. I have a dream. How about you?
Amen.
Yeah. And you might make an excuse, well, man, Pastor, I didn't, you know, bring anything. I didn't bring anything to change into. I mean, I didn't bring any clothes. How am I going to go back? Well, the people of Living Faith love you so much that they prepared for you that might not have clothing. And look what they brought you today. This bag is, this is just one of the bags. We have many if many want to, if didn't bring dark clothes. We have a towel for you. Isn't this nice? It's clean. Yeah, yeah, amen. You can clap, amen. Look at these. I want these, amen. This would look good on Nava, amen. But you can use them, amen. You can use them for meantime. And somebody brought these, amen. They'll fit you. Oh, this is rough, man. Look at this dark shirt. Oh, the growing in faith class. Why would you give away your growing in faith class? Now, you can see. We're ready for you. There's towels. There's There's bags for you. The water is warm. Richard Pontovo worked so hard getting it ready for you. He's at work now. Amen. So we're ready for you. There's no, well, I wanted my family to see me. Do you know what we're going to do right now? We're going to go Facebook Live on this thing because we want the whole world to see. Amen. And you can always have that. You can go back to Living Faith and go back that, hey, this is the day I got baptized. They're going to take beautiful pictures of you and then send those to you text message-wise. So we want to show the world today that we're obedient in water baptism. Right, everybody?
Yes.
Amen. And what will it take right now for you to be obedient, to go to the next level? Worship team, would you come as we conclude the service? Let's go ahead and pray. Would you bring down the lights just a bit? Let's be still in the house of the Lord. You've never gone public for Jesus. Maybe you've just dated him. And the wedding ring of Christianity is water baptism. And there's a moment right now, even before water baptism, that you say, I do. You say, I do, Jesus. You're my Savior. I need you. You're far away from God right now. I want to give you an opportunity to do the most important thing. It's not being water baptized. It's to receive Christ as your Savior. And you have a moment right now to do that. I'm not going to embarrass you because Jesus never embarrassed anybody. But he did ask people. He invited them. And I'm inviting you right now to lift your hand slightly. And I'll note it. And I'll lead you in a prayer. If that's you in this room and you've never received Christ, or you're far away from Jesus at this moment right now, this is your opportunity to receive Christ. If that's you, would you lift your hand slightly? God bless you, beloved. Thank you, Jesus. I see you. Amen. Someone else, just making sure. Yes, sister, I see you. You're a blessing. Someone else making sure. That's me, Pastor. I need to come close to Jesus. Amen. Yeah. You on Facebook, you can receive Christ. Two of my sisters, see, they're already my sisters in the Lord, just like they're yours if you're in the family of God. They want to receive Christ. And so we're going to pray this prayer out loud. They're going to pray it right where they're at. I'm going to lead them in that prayer. We pray it loud enough that we can hear it in our own ear. Yes? Amen? Let's pray this prayer out loud. Those that lifted their hand, you pray it out loud too. Amen? Let's pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean, Jesus. Thank you that I'm born again. I'm a new creation in Christ. My sins are forgiven. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. As I continue to pray for the people of faith now, thank you, Father, that they would go public, water baptism, Father, that they would be obedient not because of man, because of what God says right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We want to follow the example of Christ. We want to demonstrate our changed life and say, I'm free. And we declare our commitment and we say, we are now witnesses to the world now that Jesus lives in my heart and I follow after him. In Jesus' mighty name, all of God's children say amen,
amen.
And amen. Do you receive that word?
Amen.
In Jesus' name, come on. Yeah. If you receive Christ today, there are connection cards in front of you. I want you to note that. I want you to take that in your hand and fill that out completely. Let me know about your decision. I'll pray for you. If you have a prayer need in your life, if you on Facebook have a prayer need, you can do that also today. Receive Christ as your Savior today. I want to make sure that you know about the Growing in Faith class that happens at 9 a.m. You can do that every 9 a.m. On Sundays. It begins next week, especially if you receive Christ. 9 a.m. Growing in Faith class, you can have that class. Amen. And it's free. Yes, amen. I want to receive our tithe and offering. The worship team is going to lead us out and bless us with a song called I Have Decided Again. We're going to sing it with a full commitment today. Amen. Of what Christ's done in our life. Do you have your tithe in your hand? We bring the tithe to the altar. We bring the tithe right now to the planters. And we receive it right now today. Would you hold it in your hand today? There's a few ways to give, three at Living Faith Church. And there are ways that you can give, and you know about them right now. Thank you, Jesus. And Father, you promised that you would rebuke the devourer, not even for my sake, but for your sake, because your word's honored, Lord. If I brought you the tithe, And I want to be obedient to that, Lord. And so today I'm asking my brothers and sisters in this house to be obedient with me. And so I thank you, Lord, that you would prove yourself to anyone that maybe is even a skeptic at this moment. Or, Lord, if they don't have money, I pray that you would bless them back so much this week, because they're finding principles in God's word of finding financial gain, Lord, through your word, that they're doing that, Lord, and you're blessing their increase, Lord, and they would return back to the house of God with a tithe in their hand and say, God, you've opened the windows of heaven so much so I cannot contain them, and you've been good to me, Lord. Lord, you've blessed me with a wonderful family, two beautiful children, Lord, more clothes than I can ever wear. Thank you for the pairs of shoes that I have, God. Thank you for my automobile, Lord. Thank you, God. You've made me rich beyond measure, Lord. Thank you for the air condition in my home and the heat during the wintertime. Thank you, Father, for food that I have to eat in my cupboard. God, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You've made me rich more than I ever could believe, God. How could I not return, Lord, to your house and bring you back what's yours, Lord? Thank you, Jesus. You've been better than good to me. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And so with that, Lord, we bring the tithe back, Lord. Let's stand to our feet and let's sing, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus.
Decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow.